Morning. Today's daf in Yuma, daf Mem Aleph. We're on the very bottom of Mem Amud Aleph. And the discussion in yesterday's daf has been the discussion of Hagrola. It really has been the discussion of the entire parak. The parak starting on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. The fourth parak of Yuma discusses the Hagrola. We go through the Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim. And in the fourth parak, we are up to the point of the Avoda where the Kohen Gadol is going to select the goat. There are two chatos that are brought on Yom Kippur. One is a par and one is a seir. The par that's brought is from the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol actually pays for the par on his own, and it provides a kapar for himself, for his wife, and then later on, we're going to see it's also going to provide a kapar for his family as well. Vidu is going to be said over the par. The vidu will be done twice. However, between vidu number one and vidu number two, there's going to be a selection of the goat. There are two goats. There are twin goats that are brought, and then a selection is going to be made. One of those goats is going to serve as a chatos, and the other one is going to be the Seir HaMishtalech, the goat that's going to be sent off the cliff. The selection process is done via lottery. The Kohen Gadol will have a box in front of him, and in that box he's going to put his hands in, and he's going to pick out one of two plaques. So one plaque is going to say La Hashem, and the other plaque is going to say La Azazel. He's going to have two goats, one to his right and one to his left. The plaque that comes up in his right hand will identify and designate the goat to his right, and the plaque that comes up in his left hand will identify and designate the goat to the left. Hagrola, that is the form of lottery that's taken on Yom Kippur. Necessary or not necessary? Now, when we ask this question, we certainly understand that it's a mitzvah. It's an imperative to do so. The Torah says that the Torah, in its formulation of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, describes Hagrola. So, obviously, it's a mitzvah. That goes without saying. But the question of the Gemara has been and will continue to be through today's daf. Actually, the Gemara is going to conclude on the top of today's daf, this issue, today's Mem Aleph, whether or not it is an essential component to the Avodah. Or maybe, what the Gemara is really entertaining is, maybe we could do it without Hagrola. Meaning again, it's a mitzvah, obviously the proper way to do Avodah Yom HaKippurim is through Hagrola, but maybe it could be done without. Well, how are you going to do it without Hagrola? It's very easy. You have two goats, one needs to be a chatos and the other one needs to be a seir meshaleach. So the Kohen Gadol can just simply say, okay, you to the right, you'll be chatos. You to the left, you'll be seir meshaleach. And it's not overly complicated. And maybe Hagrola is not a necessary component. The Gemara is entertaining this because, well, the Gemara wants to know what is ma'akiv and what's not ma'akiv. Whenever dealing in the world of kachim, we want to know what's absolutely essential and what we could do without. So that's a simple explanation. And also, truth be told, and we'll see a lot of this over the course of today's daf, meaning where else in Avodah terminology do we have this, where the selection is done via lottery? We don't have a karban where we leave it up to some sort of randomness, some sort of arbitrary nature where, let's see what happens. In other words, it's an unprecedented moment in the world of kachim where the determination of a karban is going to be based on a lottery. So it could very well be that yes, the Torah on Yom Kippur says it has to be done via Hagrola, but in terms of what's essential, what's Ma'akev, the Hagrola is not an essential component. This has been the discussion. The discussion of Hagrola being Ma'akev, Reina Ma'akev, really began on the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara introduced us to Machlokas Amarayim. If you look at Lamed Tes Amud Beis, on the very bottom, the Gemara brought down a debate between Rabbi Yannai and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yannai says that the girl's ma'akev, his position is very clear. It's an essential component to Yom Kippur. You cannot do without the goral. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not ma'akev. It's not essential. But then that was the easy part of yesterday's daf. And the complication of yesterday's daf was that really the truth of the matter is that there's already a pre-existing machlokas tanayim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah in terms of when the Kohen Gadol wears his levanim, when he wears his white clothing. What component is essential and what component is not essential? So that was the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah had a very unilateral stance, and Rabbi Nechemiah said, it's always going to be essential. Every time, with every activity that the Kohen Gadol was wearing his levanim, his big day levan, so it's essential. That's the position of Rabbi Nechemiah. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, only when he goes into the Heichal and into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then it's essential, but outside, any avodah's chutz, any avodah that's not on the outside is not essential. So what the Gemara tried to do yesterday in two different versions is to try to understand the Machlokas Amarayim between Rabbi Yannai and Rabbi Yochanan within the context of the Machlokas Tanaim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. Okay, that's what made yesterday's daf somewhat complicated. We didn't finish yesterday's daf. We're going to do so right now. We're on the very bottom of Mem Amud Aleph. And the Gemara is going to pursue this discussion of whether or not the Hagrol is Ma'akev or Eina Ma'akev, whether it's essential or not. This discussion will continue through Mem, through the remainder of Daf Mem, and it will finish, the discussion will finish on the top of Mem Aleph Amad Aleph. So let us continue in the Gemara. We're on the bottom of Mem Amad Aleph. Funny place to start, but we're on the last line of the Amud, and the Gemara notes, Ditanya, we learned in a Braisa. The Torah describes, again, the two goats, and the Torah describes that Yamad Chai, that the one that is designated as the Sira Meshlech, is left alive. It's left alive until what point in time exactly? So the Torah doesn't say, meaning Yamad Chai Lefnei Hashem. Now again, we know it's fate. Its fate is it's going to be walked off and it's going to be marched off the cliff. Okay, that we know. But here's the question. The question becomes the following. What if the Sira Meshlech dies? Okay, so we get a replacement. We'll be talking more about that later in the Masechta. Meaning the Sira Meshlech is essential. It's an essential component to it. And so therefore, if in the event that it dies, you have to get a replacement. Now, do I need a lottery in order to determine its replacement? So again, that's a machlokus. We'll see that later on. We just saw at the end of yesterday's daf, Rav Shimon says, no, you don't. You don't need a lottery in order to select a replacement. And the Gemara yesterday noted that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's clear the lottery is not essential. Because when finding a replacement, I don't need a lottery. So and the Gemara notes that. And often yesterday the Gemara said, well, maybe it's the Bryce is going like Rabbi Shimon, because you know Rabbi Shimon doesn't think that the Hagrol is essential. Fine. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. If the Sira Meshtalech dies, so it needs to get replaced. But up until what point in time? Meaning, let's say I finished the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and en route to being thrown off the cliff, the Sira Meshtalech dies. Do I need to replace it then? Meaning, let's be honest, it's going to go die anyway, and we finished the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, so do I need to really replace the Sira Meshtalech at that point in time? The answer is no. So the Gemara is basically going to deal with the following question now. It has to last. It has to stay alive, the Sira Meshlech. Until when? When is that critical moment in Yom Kippur where now the Sira Meshlech has done its duty, and that is by staying alive? So Yamar Chai Lefnei Hashem Mechaper Alav, to provide a kapara an Masai Yezakuk La'amod Chai, up until what point in time does the Sira Meshlech have to remain alive? Achas Matandamo Shechaveiro, Div Rabbi Yehuda. So it's a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda says the sprinkling of the blood of its counterpart, of its twin, of the other seer that was designated Lashem. So when the blood is sprinkled, remember yesterday we counted 1, 2, 3. One sprinkling in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, one sprinkling on the Parochas, one sprinkling on the Mizbech HaZahav. So when all the Hazasa, the sprinkling of the blood is done for the seer Lashem, then the other goat has done its job. Meaning just by staying alive. That's the Yamar Chai. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Achas Vidui Dvarim. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, Vidui Dvarim. No, confession. Meaning that when the Kohen Gadol places his hands on the Sira Meshtalech, which will occur at a later point in time, after the Hazas Adam, so then the Seir HaMeshtalech has done its job. But prior to that, no. And if it dies any point before the Vidui Dvarim, so then you have to find a replacement. Even though its counterpart, its twin, already has been shechted, blood has already been sprinkled, nevertheless, you still have to get a new Sira Meshlech. The Gemara explains this machloket a little bit better. The Gemara parallels this machloket to another machloket. It provides a kapara. When exactly does it provide a kapara? It's talking about the kaparas damim, meaning the sprinkling of the blood. Meaning the Sira Meshtalech will provide a kapara when its counterpart's blood has been sprinkled. Certainly the Vechila Mechaper HaKodesh is a reference to the sprinkling of the blood. So too, the kapara that's achieved through the Sira Meshtalech is accomplished through the sprinkling of the blood. Not its own blood. It's not going to be offered as a carbon. It's not going to be shechted. So it's going to be thrown off a cliff. And certainly what we don't mean is that the blood, as it's going down the cliff and getting ripped into pieces, that's not the dam we're talking about. The dam that we're talking about is the sprinkling of the blood, its counterpart. Div Rav Yehuda, that's Shita Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lechaper la bechapar zvar mekasa medaber. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says, no, kapar is achieved on the Sirah Meshaleach when vidui is done on the Sirah Meshaleach. That's how the kapar is achieved. Fine. So that's the machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. That correlates to the machlokus that we just saw a moment ago between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara notes that that's the machlokus vis-a-vis the Sirah Meshaleach in terms of how long it has to live on Yom Kippur in order for it to have achieved its goal. Tashma. Shalu Tamid of Rabbi Akiva. Allah b'smol ma'o shi'achdu l'yamin. Again, the question of the day is and will continue to be for the rest of this Amud and to the top of the next Amud, whether or not the Hagrol is essential. Is a lottery casting of the lots on Yom Kippur an essential part of the Avodas Yom Kippurim? Or is it just a mitzvah? The Gemara says, Shalom Tamizav, it's Rabbi Akiva, Allah b'smol ma'ashiyachzir lamin. The students asked Rabbi Akiva, can we do the following? Okay, as we pointed out in the beginning of the parak, so it's preferable to have the plaque la Hashem, the lottery la Hashem, fall in his right hand, land in his right hand, and the seer la Hazazel fall in his left hand. Now it's a 50-50, but it's a siman tov, but it's a good sign if it falls in his right hand. You remember Shimon HaTzadik, for 40 years of Bayit Sheni, it always went in his right hand. After that point in time, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Last 40 years of Bayit Sheni, always fell out in the left hand. So the students asked Rabbi Akiva, look, and Rabbi Akiva, that's the end of Bayit Sheni. They said, let's say that the Lazazel fell out in the right hand, and the Sir Lashem lottery fell out in his left hand. Can he just switch the cards? Can he just say, oh, that's not a good sign. So here's what we'll do.
If it's not, okay, why not?
Oh, okay, wait. You're on the right path. So Shalu Tamid of his Rabbi Akiva, Allah b'smol ma'ashiach l'amin, I'm a lahen. So Rabbi Akiva's answer is interesting and telling. Altidnu makam l'tzedukim l'erdos. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, the tzedukim are going to have ammunition. The tzedukim, those who do not, who reject the tradition, reject the Masorah, and don't buy into the Torah Shabbat Peh. So you're going to give them ammunition. Because then they're going to say, look at them manipulate the halacha. Look what's going on over there. There's no integrity. They don't have integrity. So what are you, so and you're accusing us of us rejecting the Masorah? That was Rabbi Akiva's answer. What was basically Rabbi Akiva saying? You could, but it's a perception issue. That's basically what Rabbi Akiva's saying. Now the Gemara notes, time adal tinu makam l'tzedukim l'erdos, halav hachim adrinale. So that means then that if you just take away the perception issue, in other words, to take away the historical context of the tzedukim, so that what Rabbi Akiva is really saying is, you can. Now, you can't because of the tzedukim, but that's a perceptual issue. But you can. To which the Gemara says, Va'amart hagrala ma'akva? Okay, but why? No. How can you do that? You can't. Meaning, if hagrala is essential, that means that whatever fell out in your right hand is going to designate the animal to the right, and whatever fell in the left hand is going to designate the animal to the left. So how can Rabbi Akiva's answer is as really it's no problem? How can he say that? So the Gemara says, "Vekevin de kavatei small hechem adrinalei." Amarava hachi kamrei. So the Gemara says, "No, what you didn't understand is you didn't understand the question or the answer." Allah hagara b'smal mashiach ziro lo ulasiro liyamin. The question was not switching the cards. You can't do that. You can't do. Meaning, and that wasn't even the question. The question is as follows. Can I switch the cards and the goats? That was the question. Meaning what essentially the students were asking Rabbi Akiva is, look, the Sir Lashem card fell out in his left hand. And that certainly will designate the goat on the left to be the Sir Lashem. It goes without saying. But now, in order to get that Simon Tov, that good sign, maybe what we'll do is we'll take both the card and the goat on the left and just simply move it to the right. Now, between you and me, I don't know how that makes it into a Siman Tov. You could take a Siman Ra and turn it into a Siman Tov. That's and it sounds like Rabbi Akiva's answer that somehow it works. So now no longer do I understand really what is accomplished by doing this, but To that, Rabbi Kiva's answer is, no, that you can't do because of the perceptual issue. Because again, the Siddukim are going to see us do this and switching around and we're not doing anything really. Meaning, we're not changing the animals. The Hagrala was done. It's essential. It did determine which animal. All we're doing is we want to get that Siman Tov, so we're moving everything on the left to the right-hand side. But once the Tzedukim see us doing that, once again, they're gonna be cynical. Look what they're doing in the Beis HaMikdash, manipulating, right? Okay, so the Gemara says, so that's what Rabbi Kiva's answer is. Again, so the whole question and answer over here is in the context of our discussion of whether Hagrala is essential or not essential. And essentially, based on this new pshat that we gave, so Hagrala is essential. Tashma, but inconclusive as of yet, meaning we don't have a conclusive proof as to whether or not Hagrala is essential or not. Tashma ilo namar es ha-seir asher alav, hayiti yomer yinichenu alav. The seir asher alav. If the Torah would have said that, the Torah does not say that exactly, so then the indication is, the implication would be, that you have to take the lottery ticket and put it on the goat. Which, by the way, as we pointed out earlier, mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, meaning that's what you should do. But tam alamar alav. But that's not what the Torah says. The Torah doesn't say alav on it, meaning on the goat, but rather the Torah says Allah, meaning whichever comes up in your hand. Kevin sha'Allah, shuvain tzarech. Once the card has come up into the Kohen Gadol's hand, that's it. That now creates a determination. Which goat is which? Now, lamai. Now, the Gemara, that's the end of the Braisa. Now, the Gemara wants to know, lamai. But what are we talking about? Elam la mitzvah. So are we talking, is this all in the context of a mitzvah? Meaning, nice thing to do, more than nice. It's a correct thing to do, but not essential. So mechlad da'anach, mitzvah namilo. Yeah, but then, what are we saying? We're saying is, to do the lottery, that's a mitzvah. Not ma'akev, but that's a mitzvah. But then what we're also saying is, to take the card, the lottery ticket, and to put it on the goat, you don't even need to do that at all. Yeah, but we learned yesterday that is a mitzvah. Meaning you can't downgrade that. You can't say that's a non-entity. That's not even a mitzvah. Yesterday's daf, we learned that that's also part of the mitzvah. Alalav la'akev, ushma mina hagrala ma'akva, hanachala ma'akva. So the Gemara says, so what must be, meaning if this b'ris is not in the context of mitzvah, so what is it in the context of? Ikuv. Essential. And what the Braisa now is saying is that the Hagrala, the selection process, and the raising up of the Goral, that's essential. The Hanacha, not essential. It's a mitzvah, but it's not essential. Amar Rava Hachi Kamar. So Rava says, no, this is, we could deflect. And we could suggest, Ilan Amar Asher Allah, Hayithi Omer Yenichenu Allah, Achash Chita. No. What the Bryce's point was is the following. If the Torah would have said the word Alav, I would have thought that the Goral card should stay on the goat up until the point of Shechita. Now that's not necessary. Meaning, yes, there is at one moment, you're going to put it down on the goat, but the card doesn't have to stay on the goat until the point of Shechita. That's all we mean. That's all the Bryce means by that. Tashma. Once again, another attempt to prove whether or not the Hagrala is or is not essential. So here we have a Braisa. And the Braisa says, Ve'asahu, and it will make it a Chatas. What makes the goat a Chatas? The Goral makes the goat a Chatas, and not Hashem, and not verbal designation. Meaning, as opposed to any other time that we want to take an animal and designate it as a carbon, what do? Kriyas Hashem. We verbally designate. We say that animal is going to be a chatas. That animal is going to be an ola. When it comes to Yom Kippurim and the two goats, hagoral also chatas. It's a goal that creates designation and assignment, and not creates a shame. Sheyachol v'alodinu. Now the Gemara says, left to our own devices, we would have put together a kav v'chomer, and our kav v'chomer would have led us to the following conclusion. The Kav V'Chomer is very simple. In a scenario where Goral never works elsewhere, meaning how do I normally make a determination, an assignment of a carbon? Kriyas Hashem. So here in Yom Kippur, we're basically taking a random act and allowing that to be the determinant. So in a situation where Kriyas Hashem, meaning any other day of the year, Kriyas Hashem works and not Goral, and Goral is a much weaker way to identify, because Goral is not, we're not, there's no intent. Goral is just whatever comes up. So if Kriyas Hashem generally is the way to determine, and Goral is generally not the way to determine, so one can make a very simple logical argument. Well, if on Yom Kippur, Goral can determine, which is a weaker way to determine a carbon, Kriyas Hashem for sure should be a determinant. So in other words, if we just had our own devices and a Kal Vachomer, so we could logically argue that Kriyas Hashem should work on Yom Kippur. So that's what the Torah is coming to teach us when it says Va'asau Chatas. No, on Yom Kippur, this is the only way to determine which will be the Chatas and which will not be the Chatas. So what do we see from this Braisa? Clearly, the Braisa is telling us that Hagrol is Ma'akid. It's an essential component, meaning there will simply be no other way to select which is the Chatas and which is the and which is the non-Chatas unless we do Hagrolah. Okay, now this Braisa certainly is of the position that Hagrolah is a necessary component. To that, the Gemara now notes Stam Sifra money. Now, what we just quoted is a Sifra, meaning we weren't expected to know that. The Gemara just introduced it. We could have just simply said it's a Braisa. It's a Sifra. What does that mean? It means that it's Medrash Halacha. Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra, known as a Sifra, also known as Torah's Kohanim. Now, Stam Sifra, now we have our rules, our rules of thumb, meaning if we have a Stam Mishnah is Karebi Meir. Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. So Stam Sifra, Mani Rabbi Yehuda, the one on the top of Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, V'ketani HaGoral Oseh Chatas V'Neshem Oseh Chatas. Now, we know that we have an anonymous piece of Sifra, so we know the author is Rabbi Yehuda. We now also know that the Sifra states very clearly that the Goral is Oseh Chatas, and Kriyas Hashem is not Oseh Chatas. Alma, what do you see? Agrala Ma'akva. You see that the Sifra is of the position, and now we can say it better. Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that Hagrala is Ma'akiv, it's an essential component. I cannot select the goats without using the lottery system. Tiyufta, demandam, Agrala la Ma'akva, Tiyufta. So the Gemara says, now you go back all the way to the beginning of yesterday's daf, and now we can say that we have refuted the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that Hagrala is not Ma'akiv. Now, quoting the Sifra, and knowing that Stam Sifra is going like Rabbi Yehuda, we refute. And the Halacha, therefore, follows like Rabbi Yanai, that the Hagrala is not just a mitzvah, it's essential. It's ma'akev.
Rabbi Shmuel, you could argue that Hagrala is even stronger than designation, because it's Hashem picking it.
When using Kal Vachomer, so you understand it's logic.
Right.
So, you know, logic can move, you know, in a number of directions. You know, hard to find irrefutable logic. You know, it's out there, but it's hard to find. So, but the Gemara, in other words, the Gemara is just simply saying we could have said this Kal Vachomer, but we have a pasuk. And if you want, in other words, if you want to spend more time with the Kal Vachomer, you may do so. But we're the Daf Yomi, so we're not going to spend more time with the Kal Vachomer. Yes. No, don't take it back. Don't you dare take it back. Yes. Yeah, that's a method of the Gemara. I mean, Eddie, you've been here long enough to know that's Gemara methodology. Meaning, because the Gemara enjoys the give and take. The Gemara picks apart other brisas and wants to see what we can gain from other brisas. So the destination's good, but the journey's also good. The Gemara does both. Amar Rav Chista. How is the kapar achieved?
No, in general, the Rabban outside is essential or not, you go by Rav Chista. Was that what you
meant? Oh, you meaning, no, wait, there are two big machlokes tanayim in yesterday's daf. The Reb Nechemia, Rav Yehuda machlokes, in terms of which aspect of the service is essential. Right, and the other one, which we just saw on the top of the Amud, on the top of the Amud Beis, is how long does the Seir Mashiach have to stay alive for? Does it have to stay alive to the point of Matan Damim or to the point of Vidui? So the Rambam goes with Vidui, meaning the confession done by the Kohen Gadol on the Seir Lazazel.
What's
that done? Finished. Yeah, that topic also is done.
What was the one that you did on outside
Oh, that right. That's Reb Yehuda Reb Nechemia debate. Okay. That I don't know. Okay.
Probably by should be the Nechemia said because he just said the good.
I know, but if you go back to the beginning of yesterday's daf, you'll remember the Gemara countered in one of two ways, meaning that the debate between Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan can either be within Rabbi Nechemia or it could be within Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara had two ways to do that. So hard to say now which Tana we're going with. Okay, Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, we are four lines from the top of the Amud, the beginning of today's daf, and not a totally new topic, but a new topic. You'll see how the Gemara gets into this topic, but let's discuss before we read on the Gemara. So just a little bit of background, right? You've been with the daf long enough. You know that in the world of birds is a carbon come in a pair. Birds have a whole different set of halachas regarding carbonus than that of animals. But for our purposes right now, we're just going to talk about one aspect of birds serving as a carbon, and that is they generally come in a pair. Birds come if they're brought as an obligation. If they're brought as a donation, so then obviously there's nothing to talk about. Then the bird is brought as an ola. By the way, birds only come either as an ola or as a chatas. Okay, let's start there. Meaning there's nothing else. In the world of birds and carbon, there's nothing else to talk about. Either a bird is an ola or a bird is a chatas. Okay, that's number one. Number two, if a bird's being brought as an adava, so then, obviously, the bird only is brought as an ola. There's no such thing as a donated chatas. The chatas only comes as a response to a sin, to a chet. And usually, when the Torah mandates that you bring a chatas bird, so it comes in conjunction with an ola's bird. Okay? So it's so the birds come in pairs of birds, and usually what happens is you get a pair of birds. Tell you more accurately. Usually, what happens is you deposit the money in the pushka, and the kohen does all the work from that point going forward. The kohen will be the one buying the birds. The kohen will be the one assigning which bird is an ola and which bird is a chatas. Usually, that's in the realm of the kohen. But you buy a pair of birds. If you buy a pair of birds, you'll just simply say, that bird over there is the ola. That bird over there is the chatas. Now, how on this planet will you know? Will you remember which one was the ola and which one was the chatas? Okay, yeah, I don't know. That's you know, mark a bird. You know, tie a string around one of its feet. Okay, but anyway, so and one bird and that's it. And once the bird's been assigned, so then assignment will dictate which bird will be the ola and which bird will be the chatas. Now, practically speaking, in terms of the avoda. So the blood is sprinkled in different locations on the Mizbeach. By one, there's mitzui. By the other, there's no mitzui. Meaning there are going to be halachic differences between the bird that's a chatas versus the bird that's an ola. Fine. When exactly is this determination made? Meaning when can you assign which bird is going to be the ola and which bird is going to be the chatas? Statement made by Rav Chista. It should ring familiar in your ears because the statement of Rav Chista comes up a number of times throughout Shas. You can see on the Gemara on the side, Krisus, Erevin, Nazir. Okay, so this, right, assuming accuracy on the Masoros HaShas, this will be now the fourth time in Shas that we're having this discussion. So it should sound familiar. Ein Amar Rav Chista, Ein Akinim Ispashos, Ela Obel Kichas Balem, O Basi Yaza Kohen. So, in terms of the designation of the birds, so there is no continuum. Meaning, you can't just simply own a pair of birds and say, okay, this one will be the chatas and this one will be the ola. It doesn't work that way. There are only going to be two significant points in the process of bringing the birds where designation, where assignment can be made. Either lekicha, when you buy the birds, or asiya, or when the avoda is actually done with the birds. Now, you're not going to be doing avoda. That will only be done by the kohen, which means that the second point can only be done by the Kohen. I'm assuming. Maybe you can argue, but I'm assuming that second point can only be done by the Kohen. I'm Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, my time to Rav Chista. So let's give a little bit of understanding behind Rav Chista. So with the Gemara quotes two psukim, one in Parshas Tazria, and another pasuk in Parshas Mitzora. And the Torah over there describes how either V'lakcha Shtei Sarim Shnei B'nai Yonah, either when you buy the two birds, that's describing the woman just giving birth, or when you do, meaning when you actually do the avoda, then and only then, meaning either at these two points, and at no point in between, can the assignment of the birds be determined? Well, one's going to be the Ola and the other one's going to be the Chatas. So, Vasa, O Belekicha, O Basia. That's the statement of Rav Chista. The Gemara is going to challenge. Now, your question can and should be, why are we discussing this now? Meaning, it's great. It's a Kachem discussion. But, in other words, maybe it belongs in Krisus. I have no record. Oh, Erevin? What happened over there in Erevin? Was that the Brera? Was that the Brera discussion in Erevin? Lamed Zion? I think so. Anyway, but why now? Why are we discussing it now? So stay tuned. In other words, it'll become clear in just a moment why Rav Chista's statement comes up now and why the Gemara is going to try to challenge him now. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges Rav Chista based on the following. Now, it's interesting because what the Gemara is doing, very clearly, it's comparing animals to birds. Okay, and one could suggest, well, maybe there shouldn't be a comparison, meaning maybe the animals shouldn't be connected to birds, and maybe the assignment of birds has its own different halachic category, and the assignment of animals has its own halachic category. You could argue that.
Shechita is totally different.
Yeah, Shechita is different. And in other words, right, you could just simply say, why would the Gemara compare the two? But here's all I'm telling you is the Gemara does so, and the Gemara doesn't bat an eyelash. So, it's a fair point to raise, but the Gemara just simply transitions seamlessly from the birds to the goats. So, v'asav chatas, agar v'asav chatas, v'neshem osay chatas. Shiach v'alo dinhu, oma b'makam shlo kiddush agar v'kiddush Hashem, kiddush Hashem, makam shkiddush agar v'ein adin shikaddush Hashem, tamalomar v'asav chatas, agar v'asav chatas, v'neshem osay chatas. So the Gemara goes over that logical argument that we made on the bottom of the previous Amud. Again, just to state the logic. The logic is, look, generally speaking, how do you determine an animal? Determination is done through Kriyas Hashem, through a verbal designation. That's generally how it's done. On Yom Kippur, where we allow randomness to decide which animal is going to be the chatas and which animal is not going to be the chatas. So, alachas kama v'chama, how much more so, if randomness can be the determinant, certainly Kriya Shem could also be the determinant. And that's why the Torah comes along and says, that's the argument. And the Torah says, no, v'asav chatas. No, we don't buy into the argument, because the Torah says so. The Torah says that the goral establishes, and not your verbal designation. Okay, that was the give and take that we went on the bottom of the previous summit. Now the Gemara says, now let's think about what we just were arguing, or what was being presented. V'ha'acha d'lav shas l'kicha, v'lav shas asiyahi, v'katani d'kava. So the Gemara says, now what are we talking about? The animal's already been purchased. And we're not actually doing the avoda yet. We're somewhere in the middle, and the Gemara was proposing, well, let's say verbal designation works. Why? Verbal designation should not work because we're neither at the point of purchase, nor are we at the point of avoda. We're in the middle, and so what the Gemara is wondering is, Rav Chista, don't you say that the only point of designation can be done only at either point A or point B? Point A being lekicha, and point B during the actual avoda. And here, in the case of the goats, we're in the middle. That's the question. Amarava achikamar. So Rava says, no, you misunderstood the argument. The argument goes like this. Maba makam shlo kiddush agoral, ve'afilu b'shas lekicha, ve'afilu b'shas asiya, kiddush Hashem. Look, generally speaking, goral does not work. Meaning, neither in the middle, or neither at the ends, meaning at the point of purchase, nor at the point of the avoda. Kiddush Hashem, b'shasa kicha b'shasa siya. And meanwhile, verbal designation does work. Not in the middle, but at the ends. Meaning either at the point of purchase, or at the point of the actual avoda. Malkum shekiddush agoro shalo b'shasa kicha b'shalo b'shasa siya. Now let's turn our attention to Yom Kippur. Because in Yom Kippur, what does the girl do? Something amazing. It designates, and we're nowhere. Meaning we already purchased the animal, so we're post-purchase, and we're not having done the avoda yet, so we're in the middle. So the goral is able to designate, even though we're in the middle of the avoda. even though we're in between Lekicha and the Avoda. So then can't you make the argument that verbal designation should work, but using the regular rules of verbal designation, meaning either at the point of Lekicha or at the point of Asiya? So Tamalomar Veso Chatas, a girl also Chatas, Veino Shem also Chatas. And the Pasuk comes to tell us that no, the verbal designation does not work in Yom Kippur. But basically what we've done is we didn't reconstruct the argument, we just simply articulated the argument a little bit better so that we understand that never were we entertaining the idea that we're going to be able to verbally assign the animals between Lekicha and Asiya. In the argument, we always maintain the idea, the integrity of Rav Chisda's statement, that you can only assign either at Lekicha or at Asiya. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's attack Rav Chisda from this standpoint. Mitame mikdashani vehifrish malos lekino. Person walks into the base of Mikdash while tame. He forgot. It escaped him. Okay? So now he violated Tumas Mikdash. What's the... So if he does a bemazin, that's a kares incurring penalty. It's a serious offense. If he does a bishogeg, so he brings a karmen chatas. Now, interesting, the Mitame Mikdash, his karmen chatas is an olav yare. It's based on a sliding scale. Based on his economic position. So you check out his portfolio, he submits his tax returns, I don't think it's that complicated, and basically, if he's an Ashir, so he'll bring a carbon chatas, an animal. If he's an Ani, so he'll bring a pair of birds. One will be a chatas and the other one will be an Ola. And if he's an Ani Sheba Ani, so then he brings a Mincha. Okay, this is the Ola V'yared. The sliding scale of the Ola V'yared. So, Mitame Mikdash. So let's say the man's a Mitame Mikdash, or it's a woman, could go either way. And Ani, and at the time when he walked into the base of Mikdash, while being Tame, he was in the state of being an Ani. V'hifrish malos lekino, and he set aside money for his pair of birds. Being that, right now, that his economic status allowed him the carbon of the birds. V'he'eshir, and then fortune fell upon him. And he's an usher, he's wealthy. The achakach amar elu lechataso the elu leolaso, and then afterwards he says this one will be for the chatas and this one will be for the ola, meaning after already having set aside the money, he now designates this money is going to be for a chatas and this money is going to be for an ola. But here's the problem, or the issue, not a problem but an issue. He's an usher now, so now he must give based on his newfound wealth, which means that he has to give an animal. So, now remember, he doesn't have birds on hand right now. He only has money. So, why not do the following? How about pool the monies together and then add whatever he needs to add in terms of money so that he can purchase the animal chatas? Problem. The problem is that the money was already invested and assigned with certain kedusha. The chatas money, that's good. You want to roll that money over into an animal chatas, that's great. But the ola money, no, that's ola money. That's not chatas money. The ola money cannot be reassigned to be used as a chatas. They can't. In other words, they can't. Once invested with a kedusha, either animal or money, it stays with that kedusha.
Upgrade the ola?
But no, because as an usher, there is no ola. Meaning, the usher brings just an animal chatas, that's it. No ola. The animal chatas, I'm going to make an obvious point. The animal chatas cost more than the pair of birds. Okay. So the ela chatas ve'ela lo olaso, mosifu mevi chavaso midmei chataso, ve'in mosifu mevi chavaso midmei olaso. And that's exactly what the Brisa says. That what he can't do, let's start with what he can. What he can do is he can take the chatas money that he put aside for the birds, roll it over to the animal, and just simply add whatever he needs to add in order to purchase a chatas animal. But the ola money, no, that has to stay put. V'ha'acha, de'lav shas l'kicha v'lav shas l'siyahu, v'ketani de'kava. Now the problem is very simple. Meaning again, this is all a question on Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda, you know what you said? You were of the opinion that there's only two times when you can assign. Either at the time of Lekicha, purchase, or at the time of Asiya. No other time can you make any type of assignment. What the Braisa described, he was an ani, he set aside money, and then at a later point in time, he then assigned, this money will be for the chatas, this money will be for the ola. How could you do that? It can either be done, assignment can either be done only at the point of lekicha or at the point of asiya. That's the question. It's a very straightforward question against Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Sheshes v'tizbar v'amar Rav Elazar Amar Rav Yoshe metame mikdash hashir ve'evi karbonani lo yatsa ve'kevin de lo yatsa hechi kava. So the Gemara says, okay, but in general, the Gemara says the Braisa in of itself hard to understand based on the following. The Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Oshia that a metame mikdash who is wealthy and he brings a karbonani has not fulfilled his obligation. So in other words, how the karbonani simply for him won't work. It can't work. He's now an usher. And even though at the time when he violated the violated Tumas Mikdash, he was an ani, but vis-a-vis karbon, that doesn't matter. When he's now bringing the karbon, he brings the karbon usher. So you know that the monies can't, in other words, it can be, those monies can't be viewed as ani money. Because an usher who brings a karbon ani will not fulfill his obligation. So the Gemara says, so you know what you have to say? What you're going to have to say is that yes, he verbally designated the money, but not like what we suggested earlier, where he designated the money after having already set aside the money. No. What we're now going to suggest is at the time when he set aside the money, at that very moment, he designated which money will be a chatzis and which money will be an ola. Now, what you could say at this point in time is, yeah, but that's not lekicha. Meaning, remember, go back to Rav Chisda's statement. Rav Chisda says that the only two points that you can assign is only at the point of lekicha or at the point of asiya. So, but even in the Gemara's answer right now, it's still difficult to understand. This is neither. This is still neither lekicha or asiya. Rashi notes that. Rashi realizes that that's an issue. Rashi says, sorry, just give me a moment. Here we go. Sorry. To end of the second to last Rashi. Right? Second to last line of Rashi. V'achar kach hashir, mosif u'mevi, dehafrasha b'maos, kisha'as l'kichas ha'ofos. So Rashi argues, you have to say this. I mean, otherwise, the Gemara's answer doesn't make sense. But setting aside the money is analogous to the purchasing of the birds. Okay? And so therefore, when you set aside the money, according to Rav Chisda, that would be an opportune time. Only one, you know, it's one. There are only two opportune times. That would be an opportune time to assign which money will be which. Okay.
But that's the money, but doesn't include the bread. The bread is the washer and the lamois. If you haven't done the bread.
When, in other words, and you're gonna right. Curious, meaning I'm just going to develop your question. Meaning, let's say now. Well, I mean, the money's already been set aside. So, in other words, you're done. The only thing you can do now with that money is buy the bird. And you don't have a choice anymore. Meaning the money's been aside, so whatever bird you buy is going to be injected with that with that particular kedusha. Okay. Again, that's the point of the braisa. The point of the braisa is what the chatzis you can upgrade. But the Gemara over here is focused on just simply one point. How, according to Rav Chisda, how were we assigning which money belongs to which? And essentially, the Gemara's answer now is, the way you're assigning is by simply saying that even though the Braisa at face value sounds like the assignment is done later, no. The way we're going to understand the Braisa is that the assignment was done at the original time when you set aside the money. There is no upgrade, meaning there's no Ola. Meaning, once you're wealthy, you only bring a chatzis animal. So what will you do with the money? So what you'll do with the money is that money will go to Nedavim. You put in a double. Ula Rabbi Chagam Rabbi Yoshia Ama De Amar Yatsa Ma'ikal Memar. Now it happens to be that statement that we made in the name of Rav Oshia, not everyone agrees to. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Chaga in the name of Rabbi Yoshia. Talk about confusion. But in the name of Rabbi Yoshia, it says that you do fulfill your obligation. Meaning that if you're wealthy and you bring and you bring poor man's chatas, so obviously that's not the best. Obviously you didn't fulfill the mitzvah kitikuno, but it works. So Michael Amamalote Mavarchakach Amar Elaema Vaharchakach Lakach the Amar. So the Gemara says, okay, so again, we're going to have to go back to the Braisa and we'll just simply work a nupsha into the Braisa. And the nupsha in the Braisa is, I purchased the birds. One bird served as a chatas, and the other one served as an ola. So the Gemara says, lakach, wait a second. Now we're talking about a case where you have the birds. Now how are you upgrading? Meaning when we were talking about money, so upgrading is easy. I just simply take the money that I have for the chatas and add more money. But now with a bird, what are you going to do? So the Gemara asks exactly that question. So, Ela Ema Vachakach Lakach Vama. Lakach Mosif Umevi Chovaso Mainihu. So what does that mean? You're going to be adding, so that now you can bring your animal chatas. What are you doing to Parklay? So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about a scenario where you redeemed the bird, so basically you were able to transfer the Kedusha from the bird back to money, and now you're going to add more in order to buy the animal chatas. The Gemara says, no, you can't do that. Vayin pidgin la'of. No. Birds are unredeemable. Unlike animals where there's a pigeon, again, you have to wait till it gets a blemish, and then with a blemish you can redeem it. But at least there's a discussion to be had about redeeming an animal. You can't redeem a bird. A bird is a non-redeemable carbon. Amar Papa Kagon Shalakach Prey Da'achas. So the Gemara says, well, okay, maybe the case in discussion is where you only bought one bird, and Eola Zavan Mosif Omevi Chavas Midme Chatas. Now, if it happens to be that it's the older bird that you bought, so fine. So that means that the Chatas money is Chatas money, and you just simply add to the Chatas money in order to get to the animal. The Hayola Zavan Adavan, as far as the bird that was purchased, that's fine. Just give it as an Adav, it'll be brought as a carbon, Olas Nadava. And E Chatas Zavan. And if it happens to be that the money that I bought, the one bird that I bought was with the chatas money, so ein mosif omevi chavaso midmei olaso. So that just simply means then that whatever money I have left over, that's ola assigned money.
Even if it doesn't stay.
And even if it doesn't stay it, and that money, and that money obviously cannot be rolled over into an animal chatas. V'aychatas azla misa. I'm sorry. V'aychatas azla misa. And as far as the bird is concerned, what happens to the bird? Death to the bird. All right, you can't quote me out of context today, but that's but death to the bird. In other words, it's a chatas that shniskapur bala ba'acheres, and so therefore there's nothing left to do with the bird. Gufo. Am Rav Elazar, Am Rav Yoshi, Metame Mikdash Asher Vehevi Karbonani Lo Yatsav, Rabbi Chaga, Am Rav Yoshi Yatsav. It's interesting, by the way. According to the way the Gemara just laid out the machlokas, both are statements made in the name of Rav Hoshia. So, right on the bottom of the previous summit said Yoshia. Okay, either way. If you are if you're Metame Mikdash, you walked into the base of Mikdash while being Tame, and you did so Bishogeg, and you need to bring a carbon chatas, and let's say you're wealthy. Wealthy meaning that, you're in the category of bringing an animal. And you bring a pair of birds. Again, didn't do the mitzvah properly. Have you fulfilled your obligation? Have you achieved kapara? That's a machlokas. It's a machlokas between Rav Hoshia and Rav Hoshia. Okay? Good. Meisvei, the Gemara says, okay, but the mitzora ani shehevi karban asher yatza. Asher shehevi karban ani lo yatza. Now, by a mitzora, it's also adjustable. The mitzvah at the end of its saras brings karbanos, an asham animal, and a chatas and an ola. Now, the chatas and ola have to be animals, or can they be birds? Depends on his economic status. Fine. But the mitzvah, now, let's say he's an ani and he brings a karban asher, he fulfilled his obligation. Okay, intuitively, I think we understand. Obviously, he stretched his wallet more than he should have, but fine. In other words, that's fine. What if we go in the other direction? What if he's an usher and he brings a carbon ani? Not fulfilled his obligation. Now, the Gemara wonders, how can we have a debate regarding the Metame Mikdash when by the Mitzora, the Braisa, it's really a Mishnah, the Mishnah says clearly that an usher Mitzora cannot bring the carbon ani. Shani Hasam Dichsiv. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Metzora, it's a series of psukim. Zos, the Torah says the word Zos, meaning this is all you can bring. If you're an Ashir, you can't bring the Karbonani. The Gemara says, okay, well, with the word Zos, wouldn't it then work in the opposite direction? That if you're an Ani, you can't bring a Karbon Asher? The Gemara says, Rabbi Rechmana Torah. No, because the Torah says, Zos Torah. Torah is a more inclusive term. Torah tells us that if you're an Ani, you could bring the Karbon Asher. V'hatanya Torah l'rabos mitzora ani shevi karbon asher yachol afilo asher shevi karbon ani tamalam zos, and the Gemara just simply goes in the other direction, meaning Torah is an inclusive term, but zos is an exclusive term. So meaning it only works in one direction. And again, intuitively, we understand that if you're an ani, you can bring a karbon asher. You don't have to, probably shouldn't, but you can. If you are an asher, you can't bring a karbon ani. But here's the problem. Fine, that's all by the world of Mitzorah. So if that's true by Mitzorah, why aren't we saying the same thing in general by the Olav Yarek? Why is there a Shita of Rabbi Oshia which says that if you're an Asher and you bring a Karbonani, by Mitame Mikdash, you have fulfilled your obligation? Don't we learn from Mitzorah that you have not fulfilled your obligation? So the Gemara says, very simply, Mi Rachman of Imdalhu. So the Gemara says, no. Because the Torah says Imdal Hu. The word Hu is an exclusionary term, meaning that these halachas are limited to the world of Mitzorah and not to other sliding scale karbanas. Period. Okay, Adkan, that takes us essentially through today's daf. We'll stop over here at the Mishnah. Again, the question which the Gemara started on Lamed Tes Amud Beis of whether Hagrol is Ma'akev or not Ma'akev was a machlokas amoraim between Rav Yana and Rav Yochanan. Perhaps a machlokas tanaim as well. The Gemara through the entirety of Daf Mem to the top of Daf Mem Aleph debated, quoted Mishnayos and Braisos, ended the discussion by quoting a Sifra, conclusion that Hagrolas Ma'akev, it's an integral part to the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. We discussed today, today's Daf essentially is the statement of Rav Chista, that when selecting a bird and assigning which one's a chatzos, which one is an olav, there are only 2 points you could do so, either at the point of lekicha or at the point of asiya. You cannot designate assignment in between, and even if you try to, it will simply not take. Assignment will not take in between. The Gemara noted that the argument of the seer HaMishalech and the seer HaShem seems to negate the position of Chista. The Gemara defended Rav Chista, and the conclusion is the Gemara defended Rav Chista. Rav Chista's position is in fact accepted. Okay, tomorrow we'll start with the new Mishnah.